Welcome to Look Ahead Radio and Viewpoints Around the World. My name is Tom Arms, and in a moment I'll be joined by my old friend Lockwood Phillips. This week we're talking about Trump at NATO, Trump in Britain, Trump and Brexit, Trump and Putin. It's a busy week for Trump. I hope you enjoy listening. Thank you very much.
Welcome to Look Ahead Radio with Tom Arms and Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms joining us this evening. And as always, to remind you, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate Tom's sleeping schedule in light of the fact that he is in London, England, some 5 hours in time ahead of us, and but only in time, definitely not in political discourse and concepts and philosophy. I think we'll chat about that in a few moments. But just to remind you, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us every Wednesday evening here on the talk station. And with that, Tom, good evening to you. And as we start the program, always interested, what's the weather like in London?
Well, we are having one of the hottest summers ever. Actually, today it's quite cool. Not quite cool. It's very pleasant, shall I say. Still sunny. We haven't had rain in about a month, and the temperature has climbed up over 90 a few days, which is very, very hot for London. We don't really have air conditioning here. Mm-hmm. We don't have mosquitoes or anything like that. We don't have much in the way of flies or insects because it's normally not hot enough. So if we want to cool down, we usually open the window and let a breeze waft through the house.
Mm-hmm. And that breeze is not easily coming, I gather.
Not in a moment. People are queuing outside the supermarkets to stand next to the freezers.
I like it. Smart move. Very smart move. All right. Well, speaking of temperature, let's talk about the political temperature there in England. And we want to start with the anticipated visit by President Trump. Of course, right now as we speak, he is meeting with members of NATO in Brussels. And I read with interest this morning that the temperature there in Brussels, particularly politically speaking, is a little heated, that he and right out of the gate, Chancellor Merkel, Angela Merkel of Germany, and he had some, public words, shall we say. So what's the coverage? What's the expectation? And what's the feeling there?
Well, everyone is worried that Trump is going to pull out of NATO. I mean, it's not the expectation, it's the worry. And I do know that there are people right now at the British Foreign Office who are working on that possible scenario.
Wow.
They think that if anyone were to do it, it would be the Donald.
We here in the States don't see that as even a realm of possibility. We see this as really his typical bluster, if you will, and, expressing frustration. But generally speaking, we think that, and I'm speaking for myself primarily, but we just think that NATO is part of the fabric of the Western community, particularly when it comes to democracy. So
so let me ask you that if he did try to pull out of NATO, what would be the reaction in the States from the Republican Party?
I find that it's not even something that we imagine. I've not seen any stories, just for your edification, I've not seen any stories of approval or suggestions or even thoughts of pulling out of NATO.
I've seen lots in the American press.
Really?
But yes. You know, can he do it? Will he do it?
Oh.
What happens if he does do it?
Yeah, but that's really, speculation and if you will, rhetorical debate. I just don't sense it. And NATO is very much part of the military plan here in the United States. But that's interesting that is the great concern. Now, the president also has expressed some frustrations with particularly Germany, particularly over the issue of their use of Russian resources, natural gas and oil, and his feeling that many in the European community, and there, of course, there's this sense of criticism because the president is going on to speak with President Putin after his visit there in London. What is the sense there about the if you will, the dichotomy of being opposed to Russia yet being willing and quick to want to make economic relations with Russia? What is the feeling in Europe about that? Is there a sense that there's a conflict?
There are divisions within Europe over it. The Baltic states, Poland, Ukraine, and one or two other countries are very much opposed to Nord Stream 2. Now, the Germans take a different view. Whenever you have, their view is that whenever you have a trade agreement, there are two parties to the trade agreement,
mm-hmm.
and that both parties will both be will both benefit, and they may also, to a degree, become dependent upon each other, both of them. So, yes, Germany will become, to a certain degree, dependent on gas from Russia, but Russia will become dependent on cash from Germany.
Yeah.
And it's cash, which it desperately needs. Now, the Germans say that, you know, this is not the first time this happened. Back in the 80s, there was another pipeline, the Yamal pipeline, which Reagan tried very, very hard to stop and impose sanctions against any countries or any companies which provided supplies to build the pipeline. He failed to stop it. The pipeline went ahead. It was a pipeline from Russia to Germany. The Germans maintain it was part of the 1970s, 80s policy of Ostpolitik and detente, which aimed in, on one hand, to have closer economic ties with Russia to make it more dependent on the West, while at the same time maintaining a political distance. And they say that this Ostpolitik policy was one of the reasons that the West won the Cold War.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, well, it's just one of those debates, and we're, of course, seeing that right now here.
I'm just trying to give the German point of view.
Oh, no. And well, wait a second. We get into this situation, of course, and we'll get touch on it briefly. You know, the criticisms of the proposed détente, use that word, with North Korea, but at the same time, you've got to maintain those lines of communication. And of course, there's frustration with the president's anticipated visit with President Putin. Let's talk then about the impact, and we're going to probably have to go to a break on this one, but very quick question. The anticipated visit in Britain with Theresa May, the notice today in the press about the fact that Mr. Trump made, well, positive comments about Boris Johnson, who has left Theresa May's cabinet. What is the anticipated, what's expected here with the visit in London following the trip to Brussels?
I don't think there are any great expectations. Theresa May wants to use the visit to pursue the free trade agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Woody Johnson, the American ambassador here in London, has said that her latest proposal for Brexit agreement would make it difficult to negotiate a free trade agreement. She's between a rock and a hard place.
And she's losing support.
And as for Boris Johnson, I think that, you know, that's domestic politics.
Right.
You know, I don't think people here would take kindly to President Trump involving himself in British domestic politics.
And I fully appreciate that.
It would be a bit like Theresa May coming out and saying, "Please, Americans, vote for
someone
Hillary
else."
Clinton.
Yeah, right. No, I fully appreciate that. We're going to get back to the London visit here in just a moment because I want to talk about the blimp and, of course, the mayor's reaction.
She has small hands.
Yes, stand by on that one. Stay with us here on Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. And as we begin this next segment, just to remind you, this portion has been pre-recorded since Tom is some 5 hours by time ahead of us there in London, England. And Tom, talking about London, England, and the anticipated visit of President Trump, which I understand he's going to visit initially Blenheim Castle. Of course, that's the home place for one Winston Churchill. I've got to put in my parenthetical note, the finest statesman of the 20th century, Sir Winston Churchill. And then, excuse me?
I thought that was you.
Oh, well, thank you. 20th century. We're now in the 21st century, the 20th century. And of course, then he's going to visit briefly with the Queen as well. But this is not a state, official state visit. And interestingly enough, there's a discussion, although not a lot here in the States, but I did see a fair amount of discussion there in the European community or British press about a blimp that's going to be floated over London. And I'm curious, apparently I read somewhere that the mayor may be somewhat embarrassed by this. What's the story?
I think the mayor's embarrassed. The mayor gave his approval to it.
Right.
You know, and as we know, Sadiq Khan is not a great fan of Donald Trump's.
Versa visa.
But I don't think I don't see how he could have withheld his approval either, because it's a matter of free speech.
Right.
There's free speech in Britain as there's free speech in America. Donald Trump is not appreciated, shall we say. latest polls show that 83% of the British public think he's a danger to world peace.
Here he is trying to create peaceful relations both with Russia and North Korea. So we'll get into that in a few minutes as well. That's an interesting observation. The anticipated visit with the Queen, what's the big deal there?
It's symbolic.
Okay.
And the Queen is symbolic. It's an honor to meet the Queen. It's pure symbolism. It's the British government's way of saying, we value you, we value our relationship, and proof of it is we are going to introduce you and let you have tea or lunch, whatever it is they're having together, a scotch and soda, with our head of state.
All right. I want to get...
happens to be possibly the most revered head of state in the world.
Without question, I tend to think that is the case. Let's stay with the situations there in Great Britain and incorporate in that the discussion of Brexit. I mentioned a few moments ago Boris Johnson. I know that other members of the cabinet have resigned. What are the possibilities? Well, basically, the prime minister would like to have a soft Brexit. And the argument is, just to paraphrase some of this, among those who have been very much in favor of the European exit by Great Britain, Brexit as it's called, are looking for, quote, a hard Brexit, something a little bit more sustainable, and I shouldn't say sustainable, but something that's significant. And in the process, Mrs. May is losing cabinet members and a threat of a potential recall election, if you will. What's the status? I say recall. That's not quite the proper description. What's the status of the political scene there in Great Britain?
Total chaos is the best way to describe it.
And how will that impact or be reflected in the anticipated visit by President Trump?
You know, I mean, it's going to be the background. At the moment, a big part of the Brexit plans are a free trade agreement with the US. And that's one of the reasons why they want to have this visit and impress President Trump. But the way the plans are at the moment, the American ambassador here, Woody Johnson, has said, you know, I'm sorry, but this really doesn't wash. We wouldn't really want a free trade agreement if you have the sort of agreement with the EU that you've outlined.
Now, that's interesting. So there's pushback.
Is that dozens of major companies employing hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, have come out and said, if we go for a hard Brexit, we're going to have to move our businesses to Europe. And so that's why I say Mrs. May is between a rock and a hard place.
Well, unless she can come up with something concrete, I say she and President Trump come up with a concrete plan that would actually strengthen the relationship between Great Britain and the United States economically and in trade. Should that happen, Mrs. May might have more, shall we say, cards to play.
Well, it certainly, in a way, she might be improving her hand with Trump, because the president has more or less said that he would like to see the EU disintegrate. He'd like to see it break up into its constituent parts because that makes it easier for the U.S. to negotiate with them and to get better deals. If he were to offer a fantastic trade deal, a truly fantastic trade deal, ironclad trade deal,
right,
to the U.K., then yes, it might encourage Mrs. May to go for the hard Brexit, but I personally don't see it.
If there were another election, who's the front runner?
Well, at the moment, it's the Labour leader, Jeremy Corbyn. The Labour Party is the front runner simply because the Conservative Party seems to be a busted flush. They can't come up with any solution. And we do have other political parties, but really, we're a bit like the U.S. and being a two-party state. I'm a member of one of the centrist third party, as you know, but, you know, we're small. So if one party fails dismally, the voters tend to look towards the other party. And that party at the moment is extremely left-wing.
And, of course, is opposed to a exit from the European Union?
No, they're not opposed to an exit from the European Union.
So in essence, the exit from the European Union is no longer the core topic, then, of a potential election?
Oh, it is still the core topic of potential election, because it may be that this third party, the Liberal Democrats, who are the only party to say we don't want to exit from the EU, the only national party, the Scottish Nationalists also don't want to exit, but they're, you know, based entirely in Scotland. They could, as a result of all this chaos, increase their representation in Parliament and end up holding the balance of power.
The view of the other members of the European community, are they in any way reaching out to assist Prime Minister May in their effort?
They try to keep doggedly neutral. You know, they say it's up to Britain to come up with the policies.
Okay.
They put the policies forward and they will decide whether or not they're acceptable. At the moment, there's indications that what Mrs. May has put forward is not only it's unacceptable to her right-wing Brexiteers, it's unacceptable to the Remainers, and it's unacceptable to the EU.
So she's doing a good job.
She's put forward a compromise which nobody loves.
That perversely says she's doing an excellent job because nobody likes it. Let's move on to another topic here very quickly before we go to the break. I've got a note here. BBC program on Trump, cocaine, and underage girls. What?
Yes, there's a flagship news program or a documentary called Panorama. And they had a program on Monday night saying that in the 80s and 90s, Trump hosted parties at which underage models were invited and were encouraged to have sex with the guests, and that there was cocaine available at the parties.
Wow. This was appearing on BBC?
This was appearing on the BBC's Panorama program. And they had on the program, they had interviews with some of the women and also with some of the men who attended.
Interesting disclosure here as we have the anticipated arrival of President Trump to London. Is this considered to be legitimate coverage?
The Panorama program is generally considered to be absolutely excellent. Check all the facts very carefully.
Okay.
It's considered first-class journalism.
You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and LookAhead Radio. I'm just going to say, this is a story we've not seen here in the U.S. press. Stay with us for more here on Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment.
Observations of an Expat by Tom Arms from LookAheadNews.com. Can he do it? The latest NATO summit ended with the alliance still intact, but Donald Trump has opened the door to an American exit with the chilling words, "It is presently unnecessary to withdraw the United States from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization," which means that the possibility is still on the table. Trump is angry that his alliance partners are slow in reaching the defense spending target of 2% of GDP by 2025. In fact, he wants them to double the target to 4%. After all, America is spending 4.8% according to Trump, 3.5% according to government accountants. If they don't, well, that's when he might start heading for the door he's just left ajar. Which brings us back to the question, can he do it? as well as the questions of the impact on Europe, America, and the wider world. In theory, it would seem that Trump would need the support of Congress to withdraw from the Western alliance, but political practice points in the opposite direction. Under the terms of the American Constitution, all treaties and alliances need the approval of two-thirds of the members of the Senate. Once ratified, they become part of, quote, the supreme law of the land, end quote. Exactly what this means, however, is open to interpretation. Founding Father Thomas Jefferson interpreted it as meaning that revoking a treaty would also require approval from two-thirds of the Senate. But more recent practice indicates otherwise. In 2002, George W. Bush decided to unilaterally withdraw from the U.S.-Russian anti-ballistic missile treaty. The leader of the Senate said nothing. Several Democratic senators decided to sue in the courts to force a vote. It was rejected by the Washington, D.C. federal judge, partly because the Senate had already failed to adequately assert its powers, and also because the judge ruled, issues concerning treaties are largely political questions, best left to the political branches of government, not the courts, for resolution. This treaty business cuts both ways. There are several treaties effectively in force without Senate approval. In each case, the White House enforced the treaty through executive decree because it feared rejection by the Senate. These include SALT II, the Law of the Sea Convention, Convention to Eliminate All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and many others. However, NATO is a, if not the, cornerstone of American foreign policy. It is especially popular with Republican congressmen. So Donald Trump may find that the Senate rediscovers the interpretation of Thomas Jefferson along with its teeth if he decides to withdraw from NATO. But as commander-in-chief, he could effectively withdraw without actually withdrawing. He could refuse to supply weapons or spare parts to NATO allies. He could refuse to participate in NATO exercises and withdraw American forces from Europe. He could do all of the above without actually withdrawing from NATO. But if he did so, he would do irreparable harm not only to the defense of Europe, but also to America's position as a world power. The United States has 290 bases across Europe. The Europeans provide the land and in most cases a big chunk of the operational costs. The deal is simple. In exchange for allowing the U.S. to operate on their sovereign soil, the United States offers Europe protection. The use of European sovereign soil also allows the United States to project its political and military power much further and faster than if it operated from bases thousands of miles away on the American eastern seaboard. The American forces not only operate in Europe, their bases are also staging posts for operations in Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia. President Trump tends to view diplomatic relations in transactional dollars and cents terms. This is partly because of his business background and partly because that is an easy-to-understand formula for his supporters. But the world is much more complicated than that.
We now return to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints around the world with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. As always, to remind you, this portion of the program has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule, which I do appreciate in light of the fact that he is in London, England, and some 5 hours ahead of us. We've heard some very interesting news here, the items that, quite frankly, we haven't gotten here in the States. And I want to move on to a few other items related to the anticipated visit. Well, I say the anticipated visit with President Trump and President Putin of Russia, and how this is being covered in the European community and the European press. We talked a few moments ago, Tom, about the fact that he is currently in Brussels with a meeting of NATO. There's fear, as you pointed out, that he would recommend a withdrawal from NATO, which we here in the States don't see as even a prospective thought. But let's talk here about the anticipated meeting with President Putin. And we'll get back to NATO here in a moment and then German defense spending. But what is the feeling? Is this seen as an unnecessary visit or a necessary visit? And if it's necessary, are they fearful about, as you've mentioned earlier, possible détente and relations that would be damaging to the existing relations between the U.S. and European community?
The latter. They do think it's necessary. I mean, okay. You know, of course, right. It's important that the Russian and American leaders meet. It's the juxtaposition of the meetings that you have. One, the G7 meeting, where things did not go very well at all, and at which Trump said, well, we should be lifting sanctions against Russia, and we should be inviting Russia to join us again as the G8. And then you have the NATO meeting following after that, at which he, again, it looks as if it's not going very well at all, where he's heavily criticizing, attacking the Germans and everyone else, but primarily the Germans, to be followed by a meeting with Putin, which he's already said is likely to be the more amiable of all of his visits. And it's that juxtaposition which is making people nervous. And it's the statements and that are pre-meeting statements that are being made by Mr. Trump.
Of course, let's go back to the G7. At that meeting, the president also suggested, eliminate all tariffs. And of course, we've got to get into briefly the discussion of the potential tariffs with China. Interestingly enough, the stock market in the U.S. has sort of taken the Washington Post story, as a matter of fact, noted that the tariffs have been received with a yawn by the stock market here in the States. This potential of tearing down all those barriers related to tariffs, is there a possibility that Europe would consider that?
I suppose they would consider it, but I don't see it working, because some of these tariffs are designed, as they are in the States, to protect industries which are part of the social fabric.
Particularly agriculture.
Particularly agriculture, yes.
Yeah. Okay. That being said, let's look at the relationship between the President Trump and President Putin. And of course, you've got a note on here, latest on the Novichok murder. And by the way, that was an interesting additional individuals have become ill there in...
One has died.
One of them has died. Where was this located in England?
Salisbury again.
Salisbury. Okay.
Now, the theory is that what appears to have happened, because they think the dose was so heavy, they think they found a container which had the Novichok in it. And so they're hoping the second person who was poisoned has regained consciousness, and they're hoping that he will survive and regain consciousness enough to be able to say where the container was.
Whoa.
Now, if they can find the container, that is the smoking gun. Containers have fingerprints, containers have markings, containers have all sorts of things.
Wow. And this, of course, is related to the death of a expat from Russia.
A
double agent, right. This is an important story, of course.
He didn't die. Attempted murder.
Attempted murder, yeah. Now, the real question is, of course, will this come up in the conversations with President Putin? One other thing, let's talk about this very briefly. German defense spending, that was one of the criticisms that's being levied at NATO. What's the future of that?
Well, the Germans are, I think they're a bit embarrassed. They are really in a terrible state in their defense. I think there are reasons for it. Whether or not they're good enough reasons, a lot of people don't think they are.
Mm-hmm.
One is that you have to remember historically that, you know, Germany has been fighting against militarism ever since the end of World War II. And a lot of people, including Poland, all of its neighbors, still are concerned about Germany having a strong military, still, very much.
Oh, yeah. And we've got two world wars as a result of that. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I can tell you for a fact, they don't like the idea of Germany spending a lot of money on defense. But having said that, it's ridiculous when they have six submarines and none of them work.
Right.
And they have to use wooden turrets on their tanks. That's a bit ridiculous. On the other hand, there are other reasons that you have to take into account, and that is that the Germans do provide, I think, 52 bases 52 bases for U.S. troops.
Right.
And those bases allow America to have a worldwide projection, or
exactly,
at least a projection into the Middle East and Africa, which it wouldn't otherwise have. That's the upside. And those, the land for those bases is provided free. The deal has always been, we'll give you the bases, we'll give you the support services, we'll give you all those things. You, in return, provide us with defense. You defend us. You protect us.
This is an important discussion, and I think we should lengthen it at some point, about the role of U.S. military, and that's very interesting observations you're making. And yes, a real conundrum. And by the way, just to make a note of this, we're about to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I. And yes, and I think it's, I would commend to the audience, do a little research on World War I. It's fascinating, and it's a little frightening as well. Let's move on to a few other items with you, Tom. And again, Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this evening. This portion pre-recorded. Very quick question. Supreme Court nominations. There's been a lot of gnashing of teeth and wailing here in the States on someone who seems to be, on the surface, very, very capable and a reasonable proposal. What was the coverage of that very quickly there in European community?
It's not been great. I'll tell you what the coverage is focused on.
Mm-hmm.
The coverage is not focused on the suitability of any of the candidates, mm-hmm, or deemed to be, you know, first-class jurists. There's no doubt about that. The focus has been on that if the candidate is other than conservative, or if he's too conservative, and the concern is that Brett Kavanaugh is, that it would be he would prove to be a divisive influence on an already divided country.
Okay.
And Europeans do not want America to be any more divided than it is. They want a strong America.
I appreciate that.
Not a strong American military stank, but politically strong, morally strong, socially strong.
Well, there would be argument there that that is a decision. It's an internal issue for the U.S., but also there are some who think that his choice, it makes this country just exactly as you described it, morally and socially strong. So, yeah, well, I want to move on. I just was curious how that was covered.
I would just say I think everyone agrees that it's an internal decision for the U.S.
Other,
it's just that is the general opinion I'm getting from reading the papers.
Okay. Moving on to a few other items related to the U.S. for a second more. Russian U.S. election investigation, is that still being covered, or are we now focused predominantly on the big issues of the world, the visit by President Trump to the European community, and, of course, the fact that there's a country called Croatia that's in the World Cup? We'll get to that in a moment. But what is the coverage of the U.S. Investigations? Is that ongoing?
Yeah, it's ongoing, but you're right. It's moved down the news agenda.
Okay.
Mainly because of the NATO summit and the visit to the UK and the Putin summit and everything else.
All right.
But it's certainly ongoing. Will
that's fine.
Cooperate the Mueller investigation? Yes. Cohen going to flip? You know, all those things are being reported.
All right. And
a lot of them are being reported now in the context of the summit with Putin and his comments on NATO. And some here are saying, well, if he didn't collude, you know, the Russians were foolish not to get him on their side.
Okay. Next question. The recent visit to North Korea by Secretary Pompeo, the description of the conversation being gangster-like. What was the coverage on that? Significant, or did they take it?
Yes, it was significant. I think basically it was significant also from the point of view of, you know, how could two people have such a different view?
Right.
And I think what it comes down to, what everyone here has said it comes down to, is the definition of denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Right.
That the North Koreans have a different definition from the U.S. The U.S. thinks denuclearization means that North Korea denuclearize.
Yeah. Well,
and North Korea thinks that means that America, that they denuclearize, they recognize North Korea, the North Korean regime, forever and a day, and they also withdraw the American umbrella.
Right. No. Okay. It was covered. Okay. Curious. Was there a feeling of support one way or the other?
No, just,
okay. Just coverage.
Along lines of, it's a lot more complex than Donald said in Singapore.
No. This is negotiation. The assumption is that that people are taking his words being very simplified. He understands the issue of negotiations. As a matter of fact, that's what he's doing as we speak there in NATO. Very quick question, because we got to move to the break. The Thai cave rescue, was it highly reported there in the European community?
Absolutely. You know, and people complain that newspapers, radio, television, we all report just the bad news.
Right,
we
right.
want some good news. Well, you got it.
Right. Well,
it's great news.
Well, it is. But at the same time, if one has to wonder about taking a day off to go spelunking, as we call it here in the States. All right, we're going to move on to other items here in just a moment with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. You're listening to Viewpoints Around the World.
Look Ahead Radio will return in just a moment. Welcome back to Look Ahead Radio. Here is Lockwood Phillips.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio. Just to remind you, this portion has been pre-recorded to accommodate his sleeping schedule, since he's some 5 hours ahead of us by clock. First question for you, Tom, one that I'm questioning if you've gotten a lot of news on this. The latest filming of Indiana Jones may be delayed until sometime in 2020. Is there a surprise and shock?
No, nobody's done anything, but I did look it up. And it's going to have Harrison Ford in it.
Yes.
He's going to be over 77. He's going to be like 78 now with the delay.
So what's wrong?
What is he going to be playing? Is he going to be in a wheelchair?
Do you not like... you've got a geriatric...
I love Harrison Ford.
You've got it. All right. The other question...
I think everyone has a sell-by date.
All right. The other question I have for you...
He's going to be jumping around off submarines again?
All right. Now, my other question for you here is... Croatia... I mean, my goodness, what's the status?
I know, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
I feel sorry for them, though, that they're going to be beaten by that other team.
Oh, that other team? You think so? hey, listen, I was shocked to discover that in the UK, the Brits destroyed an IKEA building?
Well, whoa. They destroyed, they jumped up and down on some beds or something.
Oh, my land.
They got in a lot of trouble.
What happened to the measured and cultured world?
Oh, no, look. If this country wins the World Cup final, they will go ape-like.
Ah, okay.
The World Cup final, Because we've done this before. It's difficult to explain to an American audience just what it is. It's almost like winning a mini war. You know, these days we don't fight wars so much, but we do send our gladiators onto the football pitch.
Yeah, right.
And football is, soccer is, for every country except America, the language of sport.
Right,
the premier language of sport.
Well, at least it's not cricket. So we'll continue on with another conversation. Let's talk here about, I've got to make a quick note on this one. Wife carrying in Finland, I saw that happened this past weekend, and it actually made national news. So
I think it made international
news, yeah. So wife carrying has become a major sport there in Finland. Let's talk about the recent visit to Prague by Harley Davidson.
Yeah, well, no, thousands of Harley Davidson motorcyclists have descended on Prague to celebrate Harley Davidson's 115th birthday.
In Prague.
Now, I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, pick Prague. Why
given
Prague?
The tariffs on Harley Davidson and the row that Donald Trump is having with Harley Davidson, who have threatened to move some of the production to Europe, I just think it's interesting that they chose Prague as the place to celebrate their birthday.
I'm likewise surprised. What do we have any understanding of what was the justification of selecting Prague?
No. No, they just, I think it was planned some time ago, but, you know, the whole city was taken over by Harley Davidsons. And if you've ever been to Prague, it's a beautiful city and quite large, you know, and absolutely gorgeous. And, thousands and thousands of these roaring motorcycles revving up their engines.
Part of the international detente as a result of President Trump and his effort to expand U.S. influence, probably. Who knows?
I think. Well, I leave it to you to put a positive term. Oh, no, it's, Trump
but,
does.
No, wait a second. No, wait a minute. That's not positive. That's just factual. I mean, what can I say, Tom?
That's an alternative fact.
No. It's accurate facts. We've actually seen this in Prague. Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio with us this evening. I do want to look forward to next week's conversation, in addition, of course, to the Harley-Davidson rally in Prague, Yugoslavia, and, of course, the wife carrying in Finland. So always looking for these last segments with you, Tom. Thank you for being with us, and hope things will cool down, particularly there, politically speaking. So we wish you all the very best.
Thank you, Lockwood.
Viewpoints Around the World with Tom Arms of LookAheadNews.com and Look Ahead Radio.
Look Ahead Radio is a production of The Talk Station.